We're going to go to 1 Kings 17 tonight. 1 Kings 17. Our preacher preached on it in revival, but I want to go back to this and look at something here with this great story tonight. I want to preach to you on a widow's growing faith. A widow's growing faith. I'm going to talk about this tonight. And remember what I said last week? I wish every service was revival mode. Amen. I think it should be anyway. All the time should be revival mode, amen. But I understand the reality of things also, and we don't. Anyway, thank God for what we had last week, but thank God for every service too, amen. 1 Kings 17. To start with, I'm going to read more verses, but to start with, I just want to read verse 9 tonight. For our text is going to be verse 9 of 1 Kings 17, and here the Bible says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. God, direct us through this tonight. And Lord, increase our faith, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This verse right here got my attention, and I'm not preaching what our preacher preached last week. I'm not preaching what I've preached on this a few times. I'm not preaching those messages tonight either, but want to emphasize something else, something different tonight. These were very trying times. God via Elijah had already declared a drought, so they were in famine conditions. This was not a good time. Now, in the opening verses, God had sent Elijah to the brook Cherith, and he sent ravens there to take care of him. And he said the ravens came morning and night and brought him food. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Ravens are scavengers. What do you think they were bringing? But they were bringing him food morning and evening, right? And he was drinking of the brook. God told him to do that. So he spent some time there, but the Bible says it came to pass that the brook dried up. Doesn't that happen? We see it a lot around here. I watch the creek all the time. It's up right now. It's way up right now, but it won't be long. It'll be dried up. That's kind of how it goes, especially if it's fishing time. It'll dry up. I know that. But the brook dried up. He had no water to drink. And God, after a while, after that happened, God told him, "Well, I got something else for you." Now, if you just look at verse 4, look at verse 4. "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have," what's it say, "commanded the ravens to feed thee there." I have commanded the ravens. So God commanded the ravens. Isn't that interesting? Animals do what God tells them, right? And animals do that. I was talking about those birds earlier today. And by the way, I had a situation yesterday. There was a cat around here, and it was under the breezeway on the top steps, and I opened the door, and that thing just walked right on in, walking down the hallway, meowing as it went, ignoring me. So it took a little while to get it out. So I don't know what was up with that. But anyway, I've had experience with animals this week, but I should have prayed and said, "Lord, tell that cat to turn." I'm not a cat person, by the way. Anyway, and but that happened. But here the ravens were doing what God told them to do. "I've commanded the ravens to feed thee." All right, we read in verse 9, "I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So in both cases, God's saying, in this drought that you declared, I'm taking care of you. So definitely was a life of faith. Amen? He's walking by faith, no doubt about it. God's providing, God's helping, but it definitely is not a time of ease or luxury at all. Now, God said, God never promised our luxuries, folks. He promised to meet our needs, and we know that, right? But he said, "I'm going to send you to a widow woman in Zarephath, and she's going to take care of you." Now, a couple of things about that. About the last person you probably wanted in those days taking care of you was a widow woman, because a widow woman had little to no income in most cases, had no means of support. Unless, of course, Elijah might have thought, well, maybe this is a wealthy widow woman, in which case that would make sense. But that's not what he found, right? She was not a wealthy widow woman at all. So he goes into this situation, and he's just wondering, but what's going on? But God blessed and used this particular widow lady. But God gave her an opportunity to grow in her faith. And I believe we'll see this, that she was growing in her faith as she was going through. Like Job, I'd say this widow woman's faith and her story has helped a lot of Christians through. Amen? I've preached several sermons from it. Our preacher last week preached from it. We're going to preach a different emphasis tonight. This widow woman growing in her faith has been a help to us to grow in our faith, right? So we see that going on right there. Now, here's my question. God said, I told the ravens to go feed you, and the ravens did. Morning and evening, the ravens came. But here's my question. God said, I commanded a widow woman, but I'm wondering, did God give a direct command to the widow woman? Did she know that she was supposed to be doing this? That's really something that's interesting to me. Did she actually get a direct command from God? Well, you think about it. I'm thinking this, folks. I'm thinking God prepared her heart without her fully knowing it or being aware of it. I kind of think God did not say to her, you are going to feed and sustain my prophet. Because when the prophet showed up, she did not say, oh, hey, Prophet Elijah, I've been waiting for you. And man, you ought to see the spread that I've got on the dining room table for you today. And I'm going to be fixing a meal for you every day. And I've already got this ready and that prepared. Here's the menu. Is that what she said? That's not what he found at all. He found her saying, hey, I've got a small handful of meal. I've got a little bit of oil. I got two sticks because I don't need much at all. I'm preparing my last meal for me and my son. This is who's going to take care of you? Is he not walking by faith, folks? Well, wait a minute. God said, I've commanded a widow woman, but she doesn't seem to know about it. The ravens were told of God what to do, but this woman, it doesn't appear that God told her, now that I've commanded you to do this. So she's not ready for him. She wasn't expecting him, and he shows up, and he's telling her to feed him, and she's saying, hey, that you know, this is what's going on here. Folks, I kind of think it's like this. I think God prepared the whole situation. I'm thinking what it meant was God arranged the situation, even though Elijah didn't fully know how it was going to come to pass, and this woman perhaps didn't even know that she was going to be involved in it. God was arranging the whole situation. You know, God draws lost souls. Doesn't God work on lost souls? When you're praying for them, God prepares their heart. God softens their heart. God is working on their heart. And then God sends an Elijah, a soul winner. And that soul winner shows up, and that soul winner gives the gospel, and that sinner, not understanding, not knowing, not realizing that God has been working on their heart and softening their heart, before they know it, they might find themselves weeping and accepting the message of the soul winner, and saying, yes, I'm ready to get saved. And they might even be wondering, why am I doing this today? Not knowing and realizing God has been arranging this the whole time. Do y'all believe God works like that? How many people have gotten saved in church and they said, well, I wasn't expecting that. Or got saved some kind of way by somebody giving the gospel and I wasn't looking for that. But they didn't realize God had been doing something in their heart so that whenever the soul winner, the Elijah, showed up, they were ready to listen and cooperate with the message. Isn't that what that lady did? She probably cooperated with this, and she did. She cooperated with this, but she might have wondered, why am I doing this? I already told the man my situation. I already told the man, all I have is this, and this is what I'm going to do with it. And then he's telling me to go feed him first. And she did it. Why is she doing it? God's already prepared her heart for it. It doesn't look to me like God gave a direct command, but I think God arranged it. Now the word commanded there likely does mean arranged, though the widow woman may not have fully realized what she was doing, because one of the definitions of this word here in the Bible, commanded, means to set in order. Now, it can mean, I told you to do this. It can mean that, but it also has a meaning. A lot of words have more than one meaning. One meaning is to set in order. God set something in order here. Well, God sent the drought. God stopped the rain. God
took care of Elijah as long as the brook was flowing, but the brook dried up, and God said, I'm sending you to Zarephath, and there you're going to find a particular lady, and she's going to sustain you, whether she knew it or not. God had arranged it. Aren't you glad you got a God that knows how to arrange things? Aren't you glad you got a God that knows how to work on your heart and prepare your heart? You've probably gone through things in your life that you think about it. Boy, I don't think I could have gone through that if this or this or this hadn't happened. Well, God knew this one was going to happen. That's why those things happened, because those things got you ready for this one. Isn't that the kind of God we serve? And God can give you thoughts, and God can work on your heart, and then whenever the time comes, this woman is going along with what he said. She's probably like, why am I listening to him? Who is this? But she felt compelled to go along. Good thing she did, because throughout the story, we see her faith growing stronger. Number one, let me give you three thoughts, just three simple thoughts. Number one, she believed in a time of crisis. She believed in a time of crisis. All right, let's back up to verse 7, and let's read this few verses here. Verse 7. All right, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, and behold, there had been no rain in the land, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. He called unto her, said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Look at this. Verse 14 changes everything. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. God had already prepared a heart to obey, right? And accept his message. So she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. She believed in a time of crisis. This is not a good time for a strange man to come around and say, Feed me first. This is not a good time for a strange man to come around and say, Hey, can I borrow $5? This is not a time for a strange man to come around and say, I have some needs and I need you to meet these material needs. Not a good time for that. It's crisis time. It's crisis mode for her. Everybody in the land, including Elijah, is going through this. So the Bible says it came to pass, the brook dried up, and God said, Hey, Elijah, this door is closed. I'm opening another one for you. Amen? And again, either one of these are almost unbelievable ways of provision. Has God ever provided you in ways that you didn't understand or couldn't explain? Has God ever met needs and you wondered how it happened? That's what's going on right here with him. And God says, now I want you to go to Zarephath there in that place. It says two times it says there. Hey, you get the right place God wants you to be in, he'll take care of you there. Amen? There's a lesson there too, right? Amen? If you're in the will of God. Well, in the will of God here was a drought and a famine. So he's living by faith. And God sends him here. Hey, are you that rich, wealthy widow woman that I'm supposed to meet? He didn't say that, but he might have been wondering it. And then she told her story, and he's saying, God, God, is this the right address? Now, I'm in Zarephath, but I don't know if this is the right address. You mean that woman in dire straits, in a crisis, her and her son's about to have their last meal, and you're telling me that's who's going to take care of me? Lord, maybe we ought to go back to the brook. Maybe you can, put a little water in there and send the ravens back, because that looks more promising than this. Walking by faith.
In a time of crisis. She declared unto Elijah her case.
Our preacher pointed it out last week. The little things. Just a handful. Just a little bit. Just two sticks. That's pretty good points, right? She didn't have much going on here, and she was in no place to take care of herself, much less him.
But Elijah trusted God, even though he showed up on a very bleak outlook. You ever had to do that? Well, God, if you took care of me at the brook, and you took care of me with the ravens, I guess you're going to do something here too. I don't see how, don't understand it.
But he trusted God with the situation too, right? And he declared to her the word of the Lord that she did not know or understand.
So she declared to Elijah her case, and then Elijah declared to her God's plan. Aren't you glad when the word of God gets involved? Amen.
And God says, hey, didn't I tell you? Can I remind you? I will supply all your needs.
Right.
Amen. Hey, folks, go to the Word of God, go to the Bible, and remind yourself of these things, and the Lord's going to help you.
So he told her, he said, you go do as you plan, but I want you to bring me something first.
That's almost, remember Jesus in John 4? He goes to the woman at the well, and he tells her to give him something to drink first, even though he knows he's got something better for her. You know what I think the Lord was doing there with her? I think the Lord was building up her faith. The Lord always drew people out. People had to admit their needs, which is what the Lord got her to do. The Lord always wanted people to confess their need. He got her to do it. As she obeyed the Lord and cooperated with the Lord, he was building her faith for what he was about to do for her. Amen? And maybe that's what Elijah's doing here when he says, hey, you do this first. And she's saying, you know, okay, I don't really understand how I'm going to do this for you, but okay, why is she doing it? Because God's already prepared her heart for it. So whenever he gave her in verse 14, thus saith the Lord. Now he said in verse 13, fear not. Isn't that a good one in the Bible? Don't be afraid. You're in a time of crisis right now, but don't be afraid. Amen? Don't be afraid. Fear not. Boy, those are good words in the Bible. Amen? In a time of crisis, has the Spirit ever said, fear not? And then he said, for the word of the Lord has said. He gave her the Bible, the word of God. In her time of crises. And she did what? She believed the message of the Lord. Folks, that's why you come to church. Amen. To be reminded and fed with the Word of God. That's why you read it and study it during the week. You need to be reminded of the Word of God, the promises of God. You need to be fed with the Word of God. Listen, folks. Even though we may not understand what's going on, and even though our faith may seem to be very, very weak as hers was, you lean on the Lord with what little faith you have, and God can take it from there if we'll lean on Him with a little bit of faith. Because while you're using your little bit of faith, God's planning to give you more faith. Amen? God's in the business of growing our faith. Don't you think that? God is in the business of growing our faith, and the Lord it was doing this to her. So God's saying here, I'm going to provide continually in a way that you'll never understand. And it was always, I think, she didn't go back and say, wow, my Tupperware bowl. By the way, did you hear they're going bankrupt? I heard that today. Can you believe Tupperware? They didn't keep up with all the new stuff coming out, I guess. But anyway, she goes to her little Tupperware thing and she opens it up. And it wasn't filled to the top. Every day, I think it was in the bottom. Every day, I think it was just enough. But every day, that little bit was there. Amen? That's how God provides for us. Usually, I mean, you know, some people get millions and millions at one time. It seems like most of God's people just live by faith. Amen? And trust God with the future. And you can look back and say, thank God, I didn't know how He was going to do it, but so far He's done it. Amen? It is a walk of faith. You turn your headlights going on tonight, and it won't show you the entire road 10 miles ahead, but it'll show you enough to keep going safely. Amen? That's kind of what it's like to walk with God. A lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. You know, the Lord gives you the direction, then the Lord gives you the steps, right? And the Lord gives you the provision. So I don't think she went and said, my goodness, it's full. You know how, Elijah, you know how long this will last? I can get so many weeks out of this. No, get that scoop. Tomorrow, another scoop. Amen. Anyway, God, even in a crisis, God can keep supplying. It was an ongoing need. But it was an ongoing provision. Anybody relating to that? Sounds just like my bank account, right? Just scoop right out the bottom of the barrel today and living week to week. Amen? She was living day to day. Elijah's saying, hey, I'm used to three meals a day. In his case, hey, morning and evening, you know, with these ravens. Come on, ma'am, you can do this right too. How about three meals here, amen? I don't know how many times. They probably just had a meal a day out of that. I don't know. But it was provided in a crisis. Her faith's growing. Every day she goes back. You think maybe she had opened that Tupperware thing and get nervous about, is it there today? Every day. Her faith had to grow. I'm sure she had a clay pot. I would have wanted one of them clear Tupperware things so I could see what was going on in there. Amen. And see it in there. I want to see things, but God says, no, you got to open it up and look in by faith. A little bit here, a little bit there, but God was providing and God was meeting the needs in a crisis. Her faith is growing. Amen. We're about to die. 2 weeks into this, she's got a little bit of faith she didn't have before. You think her faith has grown a little bit here? You think her faith is growing a little bit every day? As she sees this, I think her faith is growing. She believed in a crisis. Let me say number two, she believed in a catastrophe. Let's pick up the story in verse 17. Look at the next passage. And it came to pass... And remember, this has been going on for many days. God's been providing. Verse 17. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. What happened? He died. Verse 18. And she said, now this is a bitter, bitter statement. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Now what's happened to her faith? You think now her faith has been shaken and shattered? Do you think maybe she is now... Now, by the way, let's stop right there. I'm going to read some more, but let me ask you this. Do you think when that man showed up, she was a little bit skeptical of that guy? You ever get skeptical of people? Especially these days. You ever been skeptical? You know, why are you showing up, man? I ain't got it. I'm sorry. I can't help you, you know. You get skeptical. I bet she was skeptical of Elijah when he first showed up until he gave her the word of the Lord, and then she saw something happen, right? But now her faith is shaken and shattered, and now what's she doing? She bitterly blames Elijah for it. Now, she says, man of God, you came around here and you've been around here all this time and all you were planning to do was show me my sin and bring up my past. You know, some folks have said, well, maybe that's because she had the boy out of wedlock. The Bible says she's a widow, so she was married. I'm just going to say it like that. I don't know what her sin was that she's got on her mind. I don't know what happened in her past that she's guilty about. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's that or just something else. But she feels guilty and she thinks the man of God, and she blames Elijah for this. She seems to be pretty upset. By the way she said that is the way you ought to talk to God and pray when you plead your case with God. You hear me? Y'all hear that? Well, guess what? That's what Elijah did. Verse 19. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. Is that not a big prayer? That's a pretty bold prayer, isn't it? Verse 22, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother, and Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." Amen. She believed now in a time of crisis. That was a crisis. Catastrophe. Number two is catastrophe. She's now having to trust Elijah again because Elijah said, "Give me thy son." Why is she going to give him her son? She's blaming him for it. Thinking it's got some God thing and you're the one that brought this on me. Now, she's already been told, "Give me first." This is the second time she's been told by Elijah, "Give me everything you got." You know, folks, sometimes you just got to surrender to God everything, amen, you got. Right? Abraham with Isaac. Boy, I tell you, this is a catastrophe. But here she is, what's she doing? Trusting him again. Her faith is growing again. And now she's got to give the only thing she has into the hands of the man of God, Elijah. And she does it. Now, he did tell her, "You fear not." He had already told her that earlier, to fear not. And now he's telling her, "Give him to me." She finds herself accepting and trusting Elijah again for the second time. You know, folks, let me say it again. Whatever your faith is, get into the Word, lean on the Lord the best way you know how. You know what she said to Elijah was really her way of praying? You think she might have cried out to God too? But this is what she said to him. And then Elijah did some pretty serious praying, wouldn't you say? Elijah was pleading with God. Elijah was begging God. Elijah was praying a big, bold prayer. Now, he's already had Jezebel mad with him, and now he's I'm getting ahead of myself. He ran from Jezebel later. He's learning when women get mad at him, he just runs. You see what I'm saying? So this woman got mad at him, and boy, he went and did some serious praying. "God, you got to get me out of this." No wonder he ran later from Jezebel. That's just the way he was, right? But no, he took this thing serious and said, "God, you got to get me out of this. You got to get her out of this. You got to bring the boy back." Boy, that's a big prayer. They both have been trusting God in a crisis, and now they both are trusting God in a catastrophe. What I say, take that little bit of faith you have and lean on the Lord best you can. Amen? You know, there's a lady in South Carolina that watches our live streams, and her son, adult son right now, is not doing good with cancer. She messaged Maria the other day, told her that she watches our church and watches our live stream, and she asked us to send her some Bible passages that would help in her time of catastrophe. I want to tell you, folks, that's the right response when you're going through something like that. Amen? You reach out to the people of God. You reach out to the Word of God. And you say, "I need something." Amen? I'll mention this later when we prayed. Pray for that lady and her son. But I was pleased to hear, "Do y'all have some Bible verses y'all can help me with that I can read and study? And by the way, I've been enjoying watching your live stream." Hey, that's a blessing to me. You pray for this person. But that's trusting God with your crisis. That's trusting God with your catastrophes. Amen? That's what was going on here. Let me get to number three. Her belief became a strong conviction. Her belief became a strong conviction. Look at verse 24. What did she say in verse 24? After the boy is resurrected, verse 24, "And the woman said to Elijah, 'Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth.'" You know what that says? The miracle of the son did for her what the miracle of supply didn't do. Right? I've been wondering how you've been doing that little trick with the Tupperware. You know, I've been wondering how you've been doing that. I've been wondering. I got to tell you, I've been skeptical the whole time. Even though we've been eating every day, I've been wondering how you've been doing that. Now I know. Hey, don't you think a resurrection is a bigger deal than just daily supply? Amen. No wonder most people consider Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead to be his biggest miracle he ever did. Because a resurrection is a big deal. She says, now I know. Her belief is now a strong conviction. A strong conviction is, you're not moving me off of this. This is what I believe, and I'll die believing it, right? That's what a strong conviction is. Her faith, has her faith grown? Throughout the whole thing, I've been skeptical. I've been wondering about you. But now I know you're a man of God. And the word that comes from you is the word of God. It is truth. You know, God did that for people in the Bible. God did that for David. He gave him Goliath. Everybody knew. David's serious. Hey, that's God's man right there. Amen. Amen. Paul had some experiences like that. Joshua, God said, hey, today at the Jordan River, I'm going to magnify you. And everybody's going to trust you and they're going to follow you. God helps his people like that sometimes. Amen. And that's what just happened right here for Elijah. The matter of provision was one thing, but the matter of a resurrection, her skepticism is gone now. She's got a strong conviction. Her faith has grown tremendously. She sees him truly as the man of God, and her faith is fully expanded and growing now. Amen? God can do anything if he can do this. I mean, daily provision. Do you ever take that for granted, by the way? Have you ever looked back and said, I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I've been paying the bills all these years, but God's been helping, right? You ever wonder how? And then another big problem comes up, and you're like, well, God, how are you going to do this? Your faith is growing every time. You know, you ought to be able to, you ought to look back at the victories God's given you and the things that God's brought you through, and it ought to build your faith up for what you're facing now. Don't you believe that? And that's exactly what was happening. Her faith was growing. Why is that important for us? Because you and me are going to have to be like Elijah. Folks are watching us. They're not reading the Bible. They're watching us. And they want to be able to see God has done something in your life. God has changed your life. God is working in your life. God has given you a peace that passeth all understanding while you're facing things. And you know what it does? While you look at Elijah, she looked at Elijah, and she said, now I know. You know, you might have some people you're witnessing to, you're talking to, but I'll tell you what, they're watching your life, and they want to be able to see you're for real. And now I know you're for real, right? God may give you some things and some opportunities, some big things in your life, and you're going to have to say, God, help me. You know why? Why do I need to care? Because somebody else might be watching, and it's going to build their faith. Isn't that pretty amazing? I said a widow's faith, a widow's growing faith. But Elijah was a part of that. I think his faith was growing too, by the way. Vance Havner said this, faith will not always get us what we want, but it will get us what God wants. And that's what faith is really about. It's not about us getting what we want. It's about us getting what God wants us to have. Well, we know one thing. God wants us to have a growing faith. Paul said to the Thessalonians, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. He said it's fitting and appropriate that we thank God for you because your faith is growing. I must mean God likes to see faith growing. Don't you believe that? Now, folks, I think this. I think you ought to ask God for more faith like both Elijah and the widow lady were getting. You think you ought to ask for that? But you know what else I think you ought to ask for? You ought to ask God to give you greater influence so that other people's faith can grow as they watch your life like an Elijah. Amen. Other people, and by the way, they're probably watching when you don't think they're watching. You've heard it said, you're the only Bible some folks are ever going to read. They may not read this Bible story, but they just might see God doing something in you. And it inspires them. Amen? Lord, I need a growing faith, but God, I also need a growing influence to help somebody else's faith. Well, I hope God will burden our heart with that one. Amen. The God, they'll say that I'm trusting you in this crisis. God, they'll say that you've given me peace in this catastrophe. You've answered a prayer. You've given victory here. You've helped there. My faith has grown through it. But God, maybe the person watching me, their faith will grow through it too. Parents, that's important. Amen. Spouse, that's important. Co-workers, that's important. People in the community watching Liberty Baptist Church, I'd like to think they'd say, you know what, God works at that place. Amen. And their faith can grow. Amen. You like that? That is the truth. A widow's growing faith. I think it's just important. Again, verse 9, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. That's what got my attention, because I'm thinking, did God tell her? I think God arranged it. And God picked her. And God grew her faith through all the things that he was going to throw at her. And may we grow in our faith and our influence. Our faith like her, our influence like Elijah. And God can use us all that way. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me this evening, please? I hope something there will help you tonight. I hope it will encourage your heart and strengthen your faith. Dear Father, Lord, I pray you will touch us tonight. Strengthen us. Help us, Lord, as we go through things. God, that we'll stand strong and our faith will grow. And, Lord, others can see that and others can be inspired.